Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
welcome, because it's show number 1,296. But even more importantly than that, it's my man Big G's birthday.
Yay!
Welcome, as we, again, got ourselves together for another episode of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael O'Singham, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is wonderful to be with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Brother Man Network. Home of the assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Dedicated to giving you the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia somewhere. Riding the Range and Acting Strange. The Orlando Ledbetter and Cheryl Jones in Philly. Our brother, Vicky Hampton, senior host of the African American Athlete Show in Detroit. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Vicky, along with our man Mike Roberson out of O-Town. Do a great show. Great talk. Give them a listen. Lend them your ears. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. on Blog Talk, the African American Athlete Show. And please go to their website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. And, of course, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, gearing up, no doubt, for another potential playoff game as his Buffalo Bills are doing the do today. But, again, the most important thing that we have to relate today is Gary's birthday. Happy birthday, Big G.
What's up? What's up, man? Thank you very much. Good day. Good day today.
Yes, sir. Well,
you know,
I think
Michael, you know you're old. You know you're old when you're playing record. A 5-year-old says, "Who is that?"
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're going through that phase. I understand. Believe me, I do. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, what is that? What's that, Pops? Oh yes, we understand. We understand perfectly. But, you know, you're long enough here to do that, so that's a blessing. And having said that, because we haven't had a chance to really break down this in a while, we are at that point in the NFL season where we got Saturday games. Saturday games mean two things. We're almost near the end of the regular season, and we have to also look at the situation with all of our field generals and how they have managed to make their way through the NFL season. This has been an intriguing year. We've seen some highs and we've seen some lows, but the NFL, who is probably so worried about whether or not these guys would make their money, can relax because the field generals definitely took care of business.
Yeah, they did. Michael, we have more field generals now than we ever had before. I think it's up to 12 this year.
That's right. We got 12, but at least 8 who have been consistent starters. And I want to take some time to make sure that we break down what they have done as opposed to what they're going to do starting here in week 15. But we must do this first properly. So, G, I know it's your birthday, but you can't take a day off. Tell everybody who we are.
Yes, sir.
Most 2 decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch BlackAthlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
You better believe it. And ladies and gentlemen, as the Joint Chiefs of Pass start to assemble into the hall, we must give proper tribute and FaceTime to those noble men who stride out there on that 100-yard plantation and kick ass, the field general.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL season, at least this one, is a bit more different than past ones, Gary, because they have needed the field generals to do the grunt work for us. The most high-profile quarterbacks in the league just happen to be black ones. Some of the most productive in the league just happen to be black ones. And arguably the best one in the league is a black one. So now that we've gotten to that point, let's break this down. But before we do that, Radio Reggie is in the mix. Reggie, can you hear us?
Peace and blessing, Deacons for Defensive Justice. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Reggie. Michael, I'm going to make one point before we go on.
Yes, sir.
Jalen Hurts is a bad man, let me tell you. The Eagles are in good hands with Jalen Hurts. He's going to be a fine brother and quarterback. If they leave him alone, Gary.
You know,
I'm going to say this, Mike, real quick, that it's amazing when Russell Wilson first came out. Oh, he's just a short player. That was a terrible pick. Yeah, Russell Wilson's on the way to be a Hall of Famer. And interesting,
exactly.
Gary, I hear the same bullshit when it comes to Jalen Hurts. Oh, you know, he's not a franchise player.
Yep,
he's a stopgap right now. I said, okay, keep talking that bullshit, but continue, gentlemen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's true. But before we continue, you know it's Gary's birthday, so give BG a little love.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
happy
Big G.
Big G.
Shut your mouth, writer of HBCU and all over. Happy birthday to Big G. And
you
many
go.
More.
We like that.
Right.
Okay. So, but yes.
It ain't Marilyn Monroe, but I tried.
Well, you started off good, Reggie. Jalen Hurts is in the mix. And, oh, by the way, Cheryl, can you hear us?
Yes.
How are you, sweetheart?
Girl. Hello,
hi,
beautiful.
Guys.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, God. I don't know if I can make it through the show. Oh, God. I bow down to greatness. Hello, beautiful.
Please don't tell your man on me because I'll deny everything and still come back and knock at the door.
Cheryl,
yes.
Did you bring Gabby's birthday cake?
No, just hearing her voice is enough for me.
Well, happy birthday, Gary. I wish I had known it was your birthday. I would have sent you a card at least.
No, Gary, just listen to her voice. Sing to him, Cheryl. Just sing a little happy birthday. Can you just sing a little happy birthday to
happy
your brother?
Birthday.
And for me, too, it ain't my birthday. I just want to hear you talk.
Okay.
Hey, Sheldon broke many of men's hearts, so don't even try, girl. I know it.
Hey,
Cheryl, no comment.
While I got your gorgeous ass here, I know you had to enjoy last week's game. So give me your immediate assessment of Jalen Hurts. What'd you like about him?
It's about time. He did the damn thing.
Yes,
he did really good. He didn't let them intimidate him. And you know what? It gave some fire under the team.
It did.
It gave them some fire and some inspiration. More than what I can say for, you know, the franchise player. But, you know,
sure.
I digress on that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a great game. It was a good game. It was a hard-fought game.
Yes,
I don't like easy games.
Mm-hmm.
I like them to fight for their points, you know?
Yeah, and they made very few mistakes, Cheryl. No interceptions.
Exactly. We didn't ask who we throw the ball to. We didn't have that question.
But Cheryl, when the brother coming the ball, with the brother from the ball, I said, Negro, what are you doing? No, don't do it. What are you doing?
Yeah. But you
Come
know
on.
He ain't lived in there.
I'll hop
in
my mouth when he pull that one.
Yeah, but, it was a good game. You know, they keep trying for that clear white hope, you know. And I keep telling everybody, Wentz is afraid to play football. He has his moments, but there's not that many anymore. And, yeah, whether he's a franchise, they need to trade him. He ain't worth the bucks.
You know what's missing?
They pay too
the
much money
that,
for him.
Well, no, that too, but the fact that he's not a smart quarterback. You know,
no, he's not.
When black quarterbacks play, they always talk about what great athletes they are, and they never talk about how smart they are. We know Russell Wilson is smart. We know Pat Mahomes
is
smart. But Jalen Hurts was very smart with what he did. He got the ball out. He made sure everybody did what they had to do. He ran only when there was situations where he had a clear lane. He didn't get smoked too often. They did hit him a couple of times pretty good, but that's football. But the bottom line was he did not beat himself, and that fumble that did happen happened late in the game as he was trying to surge for it, and they survived that. So for the most part, there are far more pluses than minuses. But Philly has a problem. Mm-hmm. Philly has a problem with whites with black players. Simple as that.
Exactly.
You know, and that's something that ain't got nothing to do with sports. That's the societal thing that will always be part of Philly's DNA.
This is how
they're a bunch of racist motherfuckers.
That's how Philadelphia's teams have always been. It is nothing new. And when will they wake up? You've had that boy sitting on the bench. Do you know if he had to play what place we probably would have been? You keep thinking Wentz is going to get his act together. Clearly, he can't.
That's right.
Clearly, he can't.
But you know, you're eating a big mistake. This guy is going to get $39 million for the latter part of what's left of this season. I mean, that's the game checks he's getting us, 116 to 117 to that.
Mm-hmm.
Next season, he'll get another $25 million if he signs, just to sign and be a member of the team. And that bothers me. He's put himself in a position where we now know that Philly, if they try to trade him, they'll have to find a sucker. Because if they don't trade him, then they're saddled with a huge nut on that cap and an incompetent quarterback when they know the better guy just came off the bench. And more importantly, Hurts showed the poise that we haven't seen Carson Wentz show all year long. You know, he was cool under fire. He made the right reads. He got the ball to the right people. And that was very un-Carson-like. Carson Wentz was averaging 2 turnovers a game. Now, you can't get around that. That's bullshit.
Mm-mm.
I don't care what color the quarterback is.
And key turnovers. Key turnovers.
Yeah.
They weren't passive.
Right.
They were key turnovers that he
made.
Like I said, when he's throwing the ball down the other end, who is he throwing it to? And everybody's like, oh, man, come on.
Exactly.
It's time for them to get rid of him.
He's
worth the money they're paying for him.
I agree.
He's worth it.
The same thing back in the 70s with Randall Cunningham.
Randall should have sued his offensive line for non-support. I remember they beat him down to the white meat. He had like 60 sacks or something like that his first year. Shit, if he didn't fold on that, you know he was built to last. You should have protected his ass. And the reason this is because
Michael,
Randall
goes to Minnesota and one field goal
away from
the Super Bowl.
Hello? That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, they should have won that Super Bowl with Minnesota, but, you know, you got to get there first. And a kicker who hadn't missed a kick all year misses one.
Kick the dead.
You got to wonder about that.
Yep.
I digress. Well, let's deal with the field generals as they are right now, because it is week 15. We got football today, which is always a good thing. And one of those games today is the late game with the Carolina Panthers and the Green Bay Packers. Now, I give Aaron Rodgers his props. Aaron Rodgers can play. And we know that Teddy Bridgewater has been the quarterback since the beginning of the season for the Carolina Panthers. He played well in New Orleans when he went 5-0, relieving Drew Brees. And now he has his own ship again, but they have not played well. And if they're playing the Packers have something to play for, because they know this is the game where they can take the lead and keep the home field advantage throughout all of the playoffs. We know how important that is, and
very important.
Because it is home field advantage, you know, I'm curious as to how Bridgewater is going to play. We know he's played well sometimes, but his team just seems to always come up short right now, and it's not been a positive season for him. So tell me, aside from that, what have you liked about the NFL season so far, guys?
The only thing good about it is Hurts got to play. I mean, it's not been a bad season. You know, some of the mm-hmm. games have been really good. Some of the teams have really played some good ball. And that's what you want to see them fight for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want an easy, you know, easy win. You want them to be challenged when they're playing these games. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it wasn't a bad season. Under the circumstances, it wasn't a bad season.
No, and I have a list of the field generals and their current stats, career-wise, as of right now. Amazing numbers, because you know if they're gonna have a brother here, there's always gonna be a caveat. You know, like Cam Newton, his career record right now is 74-61. And one. Those are good numbers. But, you know, they got to deal with the fact that he's maybe not going to start in New England or anywhere else next season because of his current record. Now, you got to play in a lot of games to get this far. There have been times where he's looked really good in New England, and there's been times where he's been flat. And because of that, we have bigger problems. Because there's that stigma that they always throw. Well, Cam can do this, but he can't do that, blah, blah, blah. The guy got to a damn Super Bowl. He's a league MVP. They talk about him like he's a backup quarterback. Can somebody help me with this?
Well, first of all, they didn't want Cam to succeed in the first place. And he did.
I would agree.
They didn't want him to succeed. And every player has an off time. It happens. You know, just your mojo ain't working. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but they don't make excuses like that when white boy JoJo's ain't working. Like, example, Wentz. They should have been benched him a long time ago.
Yeah.
After at least 3-4 games, he should have been benched. Mm-hmm. He should have been benched. You got all that money sitting on the bench, trying to prove that he's a great white hope. Well, clearly he's not.
You know, it's about, can you do the job? And I got to say this, you know, let's not even think about Jalen Hurts in this. Cheryl, you've been a fan, you understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
If it was down to Foles or Wentz, if you're the general manager, which one would you have kept? And why?
I would have kept Foles. I'd have kept Foles. You know why?
Because
mm-hmm. the team plays hard for him. They play hard.
They do.
They play hard. They play differently for him than they do Wentz. If you watch the game, they give them all. And then another thing, they should have never traded, what's the name? My boy, because he was the glue to the team. Though he got older, he beat the crap. He was practically beating the crap out of us. You know what I mean? So why would you trade him? Yeah, why would you trade Jenkins? Malcolm Jenkins
was a free agent.
He was a free agent. You should have paid him. You should have paid him. He was worth it.
Yes, he was.
They kill me with they trying to get the youth. Yeah, you need young players, but it takes them a while to become seasoned players. They're new to the game. They're just coming from college football. College football, NBA, NFL is a whole different ball game than college. Okay?
Right about that.
Because it's money and stats and everything else. It's a whole different game. They should have kept Malcolm Jenkins. They should have.
Yeah.
He knows all their plays. This is what I'm talking about. It's stupid. Why would you let him go? He knows what we're going to play before we play it.
This is a case of good money and bad money. Now, extending Carson Wentz, that's bad money because you don't see anything that balances the net worth of what you spent that money for. Jenkins?
Exactly.
He was worth it. He was definitely doing what he needed to do. He made people better. He solidified that secondary, and he should have been compensated. But the Eagles decided to move on. But this is actually, this is again going back to the whole connection with the corporate world. Okay, we know corporations make decisions all the time that either make them money or lose themselves big money. And oftentimes it's because of decisions that somebody either doesn't like a guy or, like the Eagles have for years, they've been locked in thinking that, well, Cheryl can play until she's 30 and then we got to trade her ass. You know, so they'll think about, well, you know, they don't look at productivity as opposed to what she does on the field. And the Eagles are not the only ones guilty in this. We've seen other teams do this. But we saw for years that the Eagles always tried to be the salary cap champions. They would save money and make bad moves, but they always had money for people. Now with this Carson Wentz thing, the chickens came home to roost, and they got a lot of money tied up in one player that really ain't all that great. So what do you do now? Jalen Hurts right now is going to be making about $900,000 for the season. Carson Wentz gets more than that in fucking game. That tells you how badly the money has been spent because you're not getting no bang for no buck with that boy behind center.
And some decisions are going to have to be made. It has been common knowledge that he's been hurt every season since he signed the contract. Then you give him a bigger contract? No, he should have never got his bigger contract. He should have never gotten them. He's been injured every single year.
That's what Donovan McNabb said. That's right. Donovan McNabb said that, and they tried to excoriate him. All he did was tell the truth. They really couldn't do nothing about it because he's media now. But, yes, he has been hurt every year.
And if it had been a brother, he'd have been gone the second year.
No question.
This man is hurt every year.
Well, who was the baseball player in the past that they really gave a hard time to with the Philadelphia Phillies? That brother didn't give a damn. He was talking trash to him. What was the brother name?
You talking Dick Allen?
Yeah. That brother, man, he's been in the Hall of Fame, even with the Veterans Committee. And he used to have to wear a batting helmet outside on the field when he played defense because the people were throwing stuff at him. Just like he did John Buford back in the day with the Orioles when he was at Chicago White Sox, and he got to arguing with a fan, and they were throwing batteries at him.
Yeah, I do remember that vaguely. Listen, we know that these cats do this shit, and everybody tries to play it off like, oh, that's just a little, they didn't mean to do it. That's bullshit. The owner and the boss.
We were just having fun. That's what them crackers say. We were just funny.
The owner of the Boston Red Sox said straight up, we've been racist. We haven't made the best decisions, blah, 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 after the fact. And it's like, I don't want to hear that shit after the fact, you know?
Thank you.
So what?
Thank you.
it ain't doing anybody any good.
That's what you say after they put a hook around your neck. After the fact,
that's
oh, we apologize. Bullshit.
Yeah, oops. Dude, pay no attention to that motherfucker hanging over in the corner.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Please forgive me for my language, Cheryl. I had a mental setback here in Virginia. Please forgive me, my black queen. I keep forgetting. I be around Mike and these other guys. I can cuss when the queen is on the line. I keep forgetting.
Why don't you?
Please accept my apologies.
I think Gary's got strippers coming to his house and whatnot for his birthday because he's not back yet. But having said that, let's move on. Lamar Jackson played really well in the Monday night game. He came back, threw a touchdown, and led to a victory. Now, as of right now, Lamar Jackson's record is 27-7. But you would think this boy done lost every game he played because they keep talking about he's not that good. Now, this is a big deal to me because Vince Young got rolled out of the league, and Vince Young won 60% of his games. The only reason he didn't come back was because nobody would take him back. He still had a lot of time left on him clockwise, and the league shut him down because one motherfucker talked about him and ruined his career, and that was Jeff Fisher, that motherfucker. But having said that, Lamar Jackson now has a possibility of going in the playoffs, and this time he's got to win in the playoffs, guys, because every time he got close, they shut him down. Gary, Lamar Jackson is now on a two-game win streak, and he's coming into the weekend on a high. They've got more potential to do damage long-term if they've solved this problem of inconsistency when it comes to scoring.
Okay.
What do you like about Jackson, and what do you think he's going to do?
Okay, number one, Lamar Jackson needs to take care of his health. Lamar Jackson needs to take care of his physical being. That's the first thing. Because he had COVID this summer, this past fall, he needs to take care of his physical being first. The game is second, okay? The game will come to him. I need to overcome the playoff, what we call playoff jitters. He's got what they call playoff jitters. And when you get playoff jitters, you make dumb mistakes. You won't do that again.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's got a game he should win against the Jaguars on Sunday.
Yes.
If he does this, you know, I think they'll clinch a playoff spot. Yeah, they should spank that ass. But if he does do this, the Ravens' problem has been if they get behind, they have a problem catching up. I need to know.
And Mike, my thing is that Baker Mayfield got all these damn commercials, and hopefully Cheryl can chime in. Cheryl still there?
She's there.
Huh? I'm here.
You there? Yeah, sure. I want to get your perception when it comes to imagery. Now, we have seen Baker Mayfield do all these commercials, but yet when it came to Monday night, the black man once again spanked that ass and told the white boy, sit your ass behind me and take notes. Now, in your opinion, Cheryl, from your intellectual arms pavilion, and you dealing with youth, see, that's why I want to come to you with this, Cheryl. Your children seeing this black man with his braids on, dark skin, not the all-American look, and spank that ass and do as good as he do. How important is that for imagery of a small child, especially since you deal with the young lions molding them?
It's very important. Because that's the problem that this privilege image that persuasion people have is not a privilege. It is a right. And the way this country is, because we had this bad fool in there, and Mitch McConnell and them don't want to feed nobody and give no belief or nothing else, it's a disgrace. When we talk about evil, we've had evil in the White House from 4 years. And
sure
he perpetuated what they felt all along and the things that these Republicans want to do. And for you to, you have to have a positive attitude. You have to be able to fight no matter how much it takes or how hard you get. Because, yeah, we're tired of fighting. But we're not going to get nothing done if we give up.
Hey, sure, I want to do a follow-up. If I can't permission to do a follow-up, Mike. My thing is, Cheryl, when you see the importance black imagery, because I don't know if y'all see that show that's on with Mary J. Blige, and what's that show that comes on now, 50 Cent pushing? In my opinion, and again, sure, I'm really leaning on this, when you see the imagery of this young black boy go to college and he's pushing drugs, he's out there selling dope, he's out there shooting up people and putting force in our community, how many young minds think that that's the way to live as far as the so-called gangster life? But then we flip on the other side, we see the pros, some pros, not all, but some pros, trying to get back like LeBron James and my man down and Chris Paul, who are doing things positive. This is real world. What's the importance of balancing the act?
Well, when it comes to that thug life, has always been an image that these kids have been taught to glorify. Yes, we need more positive attitudes. We do. Because let's figure, either thugs are either dead or in jail. It's not an in-between. Either one or the other. You live fast, you have everything for a minute. Just as fast as you get it, they make RICO laws, especially for us. So they could take everything that you have gained by your guilt-gotten gains of the game.
Yeah.
They make RICO just for us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Understand this. You have people who are writers and broadcasters who continue to do this. Okay, let me give you an example of this. You have Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers. But what they do to Aaron Rodgers compared to Patrick Mahomes, come on now. They're going to go Aaron Rodgers every time.
But Gary, if I can, Gary, we got Tony McClain in the house as well. Let's go back to that imagery when we were talking about Monday night. Here's Lamar Jackson. Lamar's dark skin. You know, he got the nappy hair. All of that is in effect.
Don't forget braids. He got the braids now. Don't forget that.
He got the braids. That's right. Got to throw the braids in.
And let's both directors walk around naked on the beach with him.
What was funny is that everybody spent time, all right, he was in the locker room. What did he do? Did he take his shit? Was it a cramp? All that. They focused on that. They never mind the fact that it was fourth down. So if they fuck up, they turn over
the
ball.
Don't forget, fourth down and five now. It ain't manageable.
Exactly.
Fourth and five.
Exactly. Hollywood Brown runs the 7 route, intermediate, 18 yards. Lamar hits him right between the 1 and the 5, and he strolls into the end zone.
But Lamar can't pass, though, Mike. He's not a passer. He's a runner.
That's right. Not bad for a running back. But that's the issue. I will make the contention that if Jackson was as light-skinned as Mahomes, they would have said, what an intelligent play. You know?
Yep.
Because your dark-skinned brother, you know, he lucked up. It's gotten to the point that every time I hear athlete, I'm hearing nigga in the same breath when these motherfuckers say this shit.
Yep.
And it's getting on my land fucking nerve.
You might as
well. T-Mac, what you think?
Well, I had the sound down during the whole game, so you know, that's how I stopped combating it now, because when they
I love you,
T-Mac.
I love you too.
Well, no, it's not even. You know what? it's not even a thing of like that. It's just, you know, their dialogue is as predictable as a WWE wrestling match now. And see, that's why it's incumbent upon us to watch the games. I mean, we can watch the highlights. We can watch, but see, that's, you know, I mean, watching the highlights will help out a little bit. But see, that's why you watch the games. Now, see, you know, truth be told, you know, you knew if the Ravens left them time, because let's be honest, Hall of Famer Trace McSorley was not going to help you win that game the other night. Let's just get that out the way. But see, again, it plays into the drama and how they like to, you know, push the narrative on the NFL. But see again. It's not a thing of it's all about being given the opportunities more than anything else. Now, see, to me, truth be told, the Ravens, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, the Ravens play calling over the last month or so to me has been very questionable because they didn't allow Jackson to be Jackson. In a sense.
Right.
And the one thing, if you watch that whole game Monday night, now remember, they whooped up on Cleveland like 38-9 earlier this year.
That's right.
Now again, it's a division foe, so the game was a little bit closer. But that being said, they stayed true to what they are. Because they're a cold weather team. And the thing is, they can pass. Remember, they were telling us Jalen Hurts couldn't pass either. And ask the Saints if Jalen can pass. Hurts,
for real.
Hurts, don't it, New Orleans, doesn't it?
yes, it does.
But see, again, it just goes back to this whole thing of how they're still, you know, low evaluating. The black quarterbacks, even now.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor Lawrence can play. I don't doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
But are you really trying to tell me that Justin Fields can't play in the NFL?
Exactly.
Are you really trying to tell me that? And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Even with all these field generals that are doing it, that have been doing it all year. And it's beyond Mahomes, and it's beyond Russell. You see what, you know, mathematically, the Eagles still can make the playoffs.
Have a chance. Yeah, exactly.
You know? Now, here's the thing. The game of the day tomorrow is Arizona hosting Philly.
That's Philly.
And it's beyond even that, Gare. You know, Arizona had lost three straight before the real Giants showed up last week and got their asses handed to them at home. And then Jalen Hurts, how dare he? Before Reggie does this week, comes along. And Pimp slaps the number one defense in the NFC. Now, mathematically, these two teams are still in the playoff hunt. Matter of fact, if something should break a certain way, they may meet each other again four or five weeks down the road. But does the NFL play that up at all? No, of course not. We can't have that.
Gentlemen, I have to add this question, and I don't know whether you noticed it or not.
The answer is George Washington. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Gruden, came on the field with an Oakland Raider jacket and an Oakland Raider hat.
He did that
shit
on purpose. He knew what he was doing.
Wait, okay, he did that right.
Yeah.
Now, is that a dress code violation?
Should be. You're right.
When you consider the fact that they've been hitting up players for, you know, hitting up players for jewelry and all this
other
stuff, and we know how much the NFL likes to, you know, look. I'm surprised nobody went into the locker room and picked up Lamar's shit and tried to sell it as an NFL product on Monday night.
How about that? But
you know,
to the point you brought up, and Patrick Farrakh can vouch as well for this. Joe Morris,
NFL license online too, Mike. NFL license online too.
Joe Morris used to be part of the NFL's fashion police. What I mean is, if the Eagles are lining up, and Cheryl's lined up, and she's got her socks hanging up too high, he'll look at Cheryl.
Fine with me, Cheryl. Have them high as you want, baby.
You'll say, all right, 44 Jones, that's $5,000. For what? For her socks being up too high. And the NFL police went out of their way to do this with every team and hit them for fines for wardrobe violations. Now, of course, you know, Dion did that nonsense for the longest time with the do-rags until the league decided to have the official do-rags. So all the dumb folks can buy that shit. Bottom line in all of this is that having something like that in place only impairs the National Football League and reminds black folks, you better stay in your place. Make money for us. Don't be an individual. Don't do anything for it for the game, even though we'll tell you out of the other side of our mouths that you're great individuals and blah, 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 and you love your mother and you eat apple pie and all that other horseshit. So that's
don't forget
what bothers
the don't forget the flag in the military, Mike. Come on, get it right.
Flag in the
get it right.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
You know, you're a patriot.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, or as Robert Kraft said, we are all patriots. Now where the naked women at?
To the black basketball and football players. Why do the white men at?
Mm-hmm. But I find it intriguing that every one of the field generals is succeeding in the things that they say that black quarterbacks don't. Now, we've seen, Cheryl and I have seen Carson Wentz make more turnovers than a German bakery. But if we look at the career stats of the field generals, Patrick Mahomes has almost a 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Russell, 8-9 years in, he's 3-to-1 in touchdown interception ratio. Even Lamar Jackson, who they say has problems, Lamar's almost 4-to-1 touchdown to interception.
And also, Lamar's got I think he has like the best winning percentage of any player. His first 30 games or something.
He's 27-7.
Yeah.
He's 27-7 right now. Patrick Mahomes is 36-8. Russell is 95-45-1. Even Deshaun Watson, who's had an off year, he's 28-22, in spite of the fact that they had a rotten season. Now,
this is their first losing season since 2007, which I think was his rookie year.
Exactly, that's right. Even Teddy Bridgewater is 25-21. So, to Gary's point, all the field generals have been holding it down, and they're winning games. At the very least, they give you a chance to win the game, but.
Exactly. Okay. Who is he playing against?
Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
That's why Drew Brees is late.
Well, they know. They can't let Jed Clampett start every game, you know.
That's right. But they told him, you got to be out there. That Negro is out there, and he's going to womp you. And I'm expecting Patrick Mahomes to go full guns on his ass. And let Breeze sit his ass the fuck down. It is time to leave the party. So
and,
Kat,
you know,
they
Mike,
don't know. Yes.
The funny thing, Mike, this is going to be left up to KC's defense. And, I, you know, and for the, you know, fourth to see. Let's face it, 2-3 years ago, we probably would have doing a double take, saying you're going to leave it up to the defense. Jeez, but see now, if anything, let's put it this way, I think Taysom Hill will play because I think they're going to knock him out of the game. Personally, I think at some point he's going to get knocked out of the game because they're going to just
He did not be playing at all because
bring it on, Gary, bring it on. Bring it the hell on. Bring it the hell on. Because, see, we want to leave no doubt. Because, see, let's say he didn't play and they open up 88 cans of whoop-ass on the Saints. First thing they're going to say is, well, he did beat him without Drew Brees. No. Please bring his old ass on so when the Chiefs kick their ass, then there won't. Mm-hmm. Then they can't use their favorite Bertha Butt line and say, "Yeah, they won, but no."
Mm-hmm.
leave no doubt. Because I'm saying again, I'm not saying if Kansas City beats them, but when Kansas City beats them tomorrow, what are they going to say then? They brought her in there. They're going to have look. You can only alibi Ike yourself for so much. They brought Brees
back.
The narrative is going to be, all right, we're going to have a showdown between Drew Brees and Mahomes, which is white folks speak says, we're going to watch Drew Brees put that Negro in his place.
Yeah.
So after the game is over and Mahomes gives them his Mahomes special, then what are they going to say?
Exactly.
That
Negra, and
they're going to be like, drum.
That's right.
Drum.
Yeah. Even Jake from State Farm and his mama was not going to say Drew Brees tomorrow.
Hey, team, like, I hear them ribs popping already, and I ain't talking about being rotisserie.
But
I'm gonna have a side of mac and cheese just in case around 4 o'clock. Because by then,
now we're talking. But from an image standpoint, you are so right. The way it's not so much that Patrick Mahomes is winning; we know he's gonna win. It's the way he's been winning this year. He's won close games. He's won blowouts. He won by just using the running game. He won by being patient and taking what the defense gave him. He won by bombing people out of the damn stadium. I mean, they don't know what to expect from him. And
Just to add to that, now last week in Miami, and remember, Miami has a pretty decent defense. He threw two picks in his first three possessions and was down 10 points.
Yeah,
and they still won going away.
That's right. In 2 minutes, he scored 14 points.
All the generals, when they get behind, they scramble to get their team back in the competition.
Sure.
I don't care who it is. Jackson, Mahomes, you take your pick, whatever you want.
I'm sorry, and see, remember, it's December, we got 3 weeks left now of the season, this is where, there are guys that are playing to try to get into the playoff picture, and then there are guys that are trying to basically put film together so they can have a job in 2021. So
There you,
you
go.
Know, this is the time of the year where things should be popping, but instead they're still trying to find a way to get Giselle's husband into the playoffs.
Not just Giselle's husband, but the kid out in San Diego who won on Thursday night. They're going to make him rookie of the year. You watch. I mean,
he's already got rookie of the year. Truth be told,
he plays a decent game. I hate on the fact on how he got it, because basically Lee Harvey Oswald of the medical staff at Chargers basically assassinated Tyron Taylor.
No shit.
And tomorrow night, the New York Giants play the Cleveland Browns, right? Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you
Baker
know what?
Baker Mayfield will be in New York, New Jersey. Excuse me, New Jersey.
I'm tired of Baker Mayfield.
Wait. They want Baker Mayfield in the playoffs.
Of course they do. And he'll probably be there.
Yeah. To their credit, they've played well enough to make the playoffs.
I want the New York Football Giants to blow them up so they get these last playoffs.
And I'd like Jill Scott's home number, but you know, only one of those things is probably going to happen tomorrow.
the Giants have been playing better.
Yeah, now tomorrow Colt McCoy is going to start again. Now, you can only make so many deals with the devil before the devil basically says,
no shit. But the Giants, in all honesty, have been playing better on defense especially. So they've gotten to the point where they'll be competitive in a game, but Baker Mayfield is so overrated. And I'm not saying it because I don't like the guy. I'm saying it because Cleveland, and to the point that Tony made last week, Cleveland runs the ball. You got Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt. They run the ball. They understand. And the running game has bailed Cleveland out more than once this season. So I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying he's not the reason for their existence from a playoff standpoint.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely. Matter of fact, that game the other night, you know, you had all, you know, was it 9 rushing touchdowns? I mean, that was going back to like freaking Nuke Rockne days. Monday night, man. You would think that the rest of the NFL would look at that and say, especially these cold weather teams that can run the ball. But look, I get it. Everybody wants to throw the ball 40, 50, 60, 80, 50,000 times a game. But, you know, unless you're well equipped for that, you know, you really don't have to. Because even Kansas City, they don't have to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. They've got the running backs back there. So that's what makes them tough. Because the thing is, there's so many one-dimensional teams right now. And to me, that's why I think it's basically the Chiefs to lose for the most part. Because there's nobody really, to me, there's nobody in the AFC that can really hang with them. And really, I dare anybody to name anybody from the NFC who you think could beat them.
How dare you? Tom Brady is coming to the white man rescue, buddy. And don't you forget it. We got Tom Terrific there, buddy.
You know what?
If they had to go to Green Bay in January, you don't want to do that.
Gary, they can barely win in the friendly confines of Tampa, let alone trying to go to Green Bay.
They damn near got a losing record almost in Tampa, boy. They get their ass beat worse at home than they do on the road.
T-Mac, explain something to me,
real quick. Isn't it amazing again that when it comes to telling our story, that people not on the radio and TV, but our own, case in point, the Washington Football Team. Now, you got the second rising of Simba, a.k.a. my man quarterback from Ohio State, he's going to get the start against the general Russell Wilson. Now, they've already said that Harris, if he has the game of his life and can somehow beat General Wilson, which I'm like, hell no. Oh, Mike, I pissed him off here in Richmond and D.C. this week. I said, do you understand y'all playing against General Wilson? Do you understand that? You got General Wilson that's going to teach y'all a little lesson about the over-rounded quarterback that can beat you with his hands, feet, brains, and, oh, by the way, his arms. But I just hadn't stopped there. General Wilson is going to put on a fight. But Haskins, if he plays decently, he gets a start again next week when they play against Ron Rivera's old team, the Carolina Panthers. And which, by the way, to end the season in Philly with the Eagles, which will be Hurts and, again, this young whippersnapper from Ohio State. Oh, my God, how I couldn't play this up in a magazine.
But it works. But you know what? It works twofold because wherever Haskins is going to be next year, whether it's still with D.C. or with someone else, he's going. You know, I hope while he's playing tomorrow, he's taking notes from Russell. Because I just again, Haskins can play in this league. He's just he's just not with the right team right now, to be quite honest.
Nope. See John Gruden as asshole coach. John Gruden really messed up.
Of the Chicago Blackhawks, Atlanta Braves, and Kansas City Chiefs. That's gonna be Thursday show. That's how we're gonna start it.
Okay.
Hey, Garrett, you gonna talk about Charlie Fry being a Negro League baseball player, or pitcher?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Gary, I'm not going to be able to make it to your show today, but happy 150th birthday. You don't look a day over 120. Day over 120.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right.
You got to love that. Well, yes, gentlemen, before we go, just one last item to consider, because now we have put ourselves in a place where sustained black excellence is in the face of one of the most hardcore right-wing corporate entities in all of corporatists, and that's the National Football League. Whatever they want to say, there is still that fighting resentment. And we brought this up last week, and I think it was you, Reggie, who mentioned how – no, it was Patrick talking about how some of the players – had their own media liaisons running interference for them to counter the assholes in the press corps. I think it's long time that it's been that it should have been done. I'm glad some people were smart enough to think about doing it, but you know the National Football League ain't gonna like it. Now I'm curious as to what you think their next strategy will be regarding the doublespeak and how they kick their own selves in the ass by degrading their star players because they're the wrong color.
Well, it's gonna backfire on them. Now I've noticed the NBA fined Kyrie Irving for not showing up for media day for the Bed-Stuy Nets. But you know what? Go ahead, keep finding them, because here's the thing: they are not. This way, they, for the most part, they're not obligated to do media. And see, here's the thing: they want it both ways. They want to be able to criticize the hell out of Kyrie, who, you know, at times does bring a little bit more attention on himself than whatever. But see, when he doesn't say anything, you want to fuck with him with that too. And you can look.
Exactly.
Look, you know, if he's such a bad guy, why do you want to keep talking to him? That's the question
that really needs to be asked. Because if he's such a terrible person,
right.
if he's such a, you know, if he's not a quote machine, all this other stuff, then put it this way. Let's just say on a night that the Nets get beat by, like, say, 35, 40 points, and Kyrie is not a factor, and Kyrie is not a factor, why are you trying to interview him anyway?
Hello.
Doesn't it speak more to how you're not doing your job as opposed to whether he's available or what have you? Because let's face it, what are you going to do? You're going to wind up asking him, well, what happened, Kyrie? You watched the fucking game. What are you asking me for?
Exactly.
That is so true.
It's beyond the double standard. It's beyond just being out and out assholish. Sorry, Mr. Webster.
Yeah.
But it's the word.
I got my itchy assholish. See, white reporter.
Yeah.
It is right here.
Well, I think I've said it enough now where the Webster family is may not come after me anymore with their kiki sticks. But you know, you always got to say sorry just in case. But no, it's like, are you guys still trying to play that old game of, well, I'm gonna just make him say something? Why? Doesn't that speak more of how shitty a reporter you are, as opposed to how quote unquote bad guy Kyrie is?
Exactly, and that's the essence of journalism. You got to know not necessarily the question, but what's the right question to ask? What's the question that leads to other questions that allows you to flow into the guy's mindset or the woman's mindset? And let them ask and answer objectively. We don't see that because we know the papers, the radio stations, they all have agendas. And the people that work for them also have agendas. So how can you, in all honesty, objectively do your job knowing that, and this was so clearly brought out in the movie 61, and I suggested every sports fan takes a peek at that. You see how the sports writers would twist and make points and stuff to put the knives in the backs of guys they don't like, and yet they'll suck the cocks of all the guys who they do like so that they can present this false narrative about what's really going on.
Mike, here's a question that needs to be asked to me. And again, I pose this to every quote-unquote hardcore or not even hardcore sports fan. Now, you use 61 as a perfect example of the media back then. Now, remember, this was way before the 24/7 news cycle, sports cycle. This was way before the proliferation of social media. This was way before the internet and all this other stuff. Now, think about this now. Now, let's bring 61 to 2020.
Yep.
Major League Baseball has their own website, and they have their own writers. The New York Yankees have their own website, have their own writers. Pretty much all of professional sports, the NBA has their own website and TV station.
Yep.
The NFL has their own website and TV station. The NHL has their own website and TV station. And I believe the obscure NFL has the same thing, too. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that they do. All those individual teams all have websites, and they have their own folks writing for them. You notice the pattern here? Now, why is everyone getting their panties out of shape? Because the players also have their own thing. They are just,
there you go.
I mean, it is the evolution.
How dare you?
I know. How dare me? How dare me? I know. I know.
How dare you put the facts in the way, T? How dare you? How dare you?
I know. I know. But see, but seriously, even if you're not a sports fan, even if you hate a certain whatever guy, think about that. Let's say you're a fan of Mike Trout. Now, I don't know who's the main, I'm going to guess, I guess it's like the Orange County Register or whatever. But
yeah,
think
something
of
like that.
The
could think up the main beat writer, the baseball beat writer for the Angels team, would you now if Mike Trout comes up and now if Mike Trout comes up and says, you know what, I'm gonna do my own website, I'm gonna do my own media thing, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ironically, it was a year ago around this time that Fred, Rob Manfred said, well, one of the reasons why Mike Trout isn't known is because he doesn't push himself out there. He doesn't, you know, make himself to be, you know, whatever. Now,
right.
This is arguably the face of your league, of your game. You know,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm. Marquee player.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Now, if he were to go out and basically say, you know what, I'm not going to speak to the media anymore, I'm going to do my thing, would
mm-hmm.
there be as much of an outcry? And most importantly, would they find the bejesus out of him?
Oh, hell no.
No, no, but see,
mm-hmm.
it's the sort of thing where, you know, these sports leagues and the media that love to, you know, do unspeakable things to their genitals, work
yeah.
both ways.
Yeah.
You know, you want this access, and you want to be able to, you know, use it as a bully pulpit. But when it's pulled away from you, you want to whine about it. You can't have it both ways.
Amen. You have it both ways.
A lot of the reason why Kyrie is playing in Bed-Stuy is because they went too crazy about him in Boston.
Jeez,
Boston not liking a black athlete. That hasn't happened in what, 2 weeks or 2 weeks or something.
Black athletes on line three that can't stand Boston. Black athletes on line three. We got about a couple thousand of them, Fred.
Man, that line spreads through New Hampshire, the Bronx, and Staten Island, as far as I know.
And it's still lit as we speak.
But see, that's the thing. It's interesting here's the thing. They made such a big thing about the whole Negro Leagues acknowledgement, if you want to call it for whatever.
Exactly.
And you know, but see, here's the thing. With all of that, it just still to me, it's again. I go back to something that James Baldwin said. I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't, I don't listen to what you say because I see what you do.
What you do.
Now,
say it again, T. I got to write that down.
I don't believe what you say because I see what you do. That's an old James Baldwin quote from way back in the day. But I say all that to basically say, even with all of this, you know, fake posturing with the Negro Leagues and whatever, and for the most part, it is a nice thing that they've done. But again, I can't help but think of the naked man that offers all of his clothes. Well, you know,
exactly.
beware of the naked man that
offers
his
shirt.
Yes, or all of his clothes on a cold winter day. It's sort of where, you know, all these leagues talk about how they want to diversify and they want to do all this and they want to do. Because see, here's the thing. What was Kyrie Irving's biggest crime? He didn't want to talk to the
being
media.
Black. Being a black man in America.
But in their eyes, it's like, you know, dare I say it, how dare you not speak to, you know, the assholes
that's
of
right.
the press. That's what
right.
it comes down to. The whole the fact that he's black, that just gives them more fuel to the fire, at least in their eyes. But that's the thing. They can wear Black Lives Matter put Black Lives Matter on T-shirts and helmets and paraphernalia and all the other stuff. But it's never going to change a mindset. The former Cleveland Indians can call themselves the Buckeyes.
if they choose to, but it's never going to change an attitude. And there, yeah. And see, therein lies the point. I didn't want to go on too long, but I think it's something that needs to be said. Because
that's right.
Let's face it, they want a certain, kind of black. See,
that's right.
I don't think that they don't want black athletes. They want them, but they want them on their own terms. And therein
mm-hmm.
lies the difference. Because, see, if we did go back to pre-Negro leagues, these sports would be awful to look at. So they're not naive to the point where they want to get rid of us, but they just want us. They just want a certain kind.
Right. Mm-hmm. T, can I throw something in the pot real quick? The thing that really disturbs me, and I got to say this because even we at this network have experienced this. I'm trying to be delicate in how I put this, but it really bothers me when even organizations, I remember you had the Black Entertainment Network that's supposed to be out of Atlanta, the Black News Network. I don't even know if they even made it off the ground.
No, they're still on. They're still on. I watch them every day. They're still on. Unfortunately, you got to go to Helen Hunt for them. That's the only problem. But go ahead.
So really, it's kind of hard to get to them. In other words, if that person is trying to find it, you got to go to find it. But my issue is that we done seen with the NAACP and our organizations where some Negroes, especially when it's involved, they got to get their face on the picture. They got to get their cut of the loop. And sometimes it hurts the cause. But we have seen Europeans, even with the occupy the White House, the great white knight supremacist, no matter what he does, they will unite for a common cause in order to gain power by any means necessary. It seems once again that black folks, if we did go back to Negro League, if we did go back to All Black Network, we would have some Negroes that would serve their masters very well. I heard that from a certain great, brilliant mind. I don't know who that person was, T Mac.
I have no idea who said that either, but I digress.
But some Negroes, and some Negroes would serve their masters very well to infiltrate, because we've seen over the history.
Here's the thing, Reg. We had them back in slavery. We had them back in Reconstruction. We had them back when the Negroes. We've always had them. But see, at some point, you still have to do what you do. Because see, Mike talks about this a lot. As great as Jackie Robinson was, Jackie knew that in some ways he'd sabotage, in a lot of ways, he'd sabotage the Negro League by leaving them. And see, I'm sure it wasn't his want to see the Negro Leagues die off. And look, if you're in that situation with Jackie and the Dodgers are saying, look, we want to make you, we want you to play for us. I can't fault him for that. That being said, I got to fault the fantasy. What wound up happening was the Negro League's fan base basically all became Dodger and Cleveland Indian fans because of Larry Doby. Now, look, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you still have to be able to support your own. Because, see, the Negro Leagues did limp around till about 1960, after Jackie and Larry and everybody else was taken from them. And I want to specify that, taken from them, because a lot of teams were not compensated.
And Satchel Paige. God bless Satchel Paige. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, see, that's a problem, unfortunately, that we as black folks have dealt with for years. Now, I'm anxious. Let's put it this way. I'm hopeful because in certain instances where we've seen other entities over the years, like – what Ice Cube did with the Big Three League, I think that's about as close as you can get to a Negro League in this current atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now, and for the most part, it has been successful. Is it now is it better than the NBA or what have you? No, it's not. But see, it doesn't have
they won't try to be.
Exactly. But see, here's the thing that folks forget. The Negro Leagues whether they want to say it or not, was better than Major League Baseball. Because they innovated long before Major League Baseball. They played night baseball before Major League Baseball did. Yeah. They played overseas long before Major League Baseball
Thank
did.
You.
They Thank innovated. You. They innovated the equipment before Major League Baseball did. The only thing that Major Leagues did before the Negro Leagues was the All-Star Game, and that was only by a couple of months.
Hey, T, don't forget that the black Negro Leagues were making more money in certain games than the white boys. That's what really made them mad. And it was the first league to play under lights.
And see, here's the thing. I always tell this story, the old Philadelphia Stars. The Phillies. Now, we all know the Phillies have basically been, you know, they've been a mediocre franchise would be nice.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Veeck had a chance to buy the Phillies back in the early 40s. This was long before Jackie Robinson came on the scene, what have you. And what he was going to do, he was basically going to tear up that old Phillies roster, and he was going to bring in the Stars from the Philadelphia Stars, one of the best Negro League teams in Negro League baseball. When Major League Baseball got wind of that, all of a sudden they found another buyer, and Bill Veeck didn't get a chance to. And now, think about how baseball history could have changed if Bill Veeck is allowed to buy the Phillies, and then the Philly All Star, and then the Philly Stars become basically the Philadelphia Phillies. You think the Phillies might have not waited until 1950 before they finally got into the postseason? You think maybe by the time Dick Allen got there in 1962, he wouldn't have been the lone black? He would have had some other black players to help him progress along the way, and maybe he wouldn't have been deemed as this quote unquote malcontent, even though he was the best player of the game. But see, again, look, Major League Baseball had the chance to get this right in 1969, and they blew it off. If you want to call this them, you know, undoing a wrong, okay, yeah, I guess you could say that. But see, again. Mm-hmm. It's not so much what you say. I see what you do. And again, I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I look at them as just them trying to make some money, or what have you. And then once they make what they feel is an acceptable amount of money, then they're going to walk away from it. Now, thankfully, there are other organizations. Matter of fact, CeCe Sabathia, one of the first things he did once he ended his retirement, he now merchandises Negro League merchandise, you know, hoodies, hats, whatever, you know, and again, it came out at a perfect time as the Negro Leagues are celebrating their 100th anniversary this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend to see what CeCe's doing as opposed to what MLB is doing. And see, what's great is there's so many other outlets out there that are doing stuff with Negro Leagues. You know, and you know, what Bob Kendrick and his boys down in Kansas City at the museum does, they've been pushing it for years. They didn't just come around this 100th anniversary and started pushing product. They've been pushing product for a long time, and they are going to reap. They'll probably reap a lot of the benefits of this. So I hope for their sake, and for the remaining living Negro Leaguers, that this, in a sense, you know, they don't need validation. Their history is valid enough. But I hope, if nothing else, I hope someone along the line says, wow, I need to know more about the Negro Leagues. If we can get a handful of black, white, Hispanic, or whatever folks that really want to take it to the next level and find out more about the Negro Leagues, then this move will not have been in vain. And I apologize for going on a little longer than usual.
No, no, wait. I tell you what,
No, all them baseball players, they can take their batting average right down to the sixth. They knew their percentage average and everything. Because when Bill Forrester and the group I had, we had not one but two or three symposiums, and we had former Negro League baseball players. And unfortunately, a lot of them have died off. So I'm hoping that the remaining ones, the people can step up and do something for them.
Well, and like you said, unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, there's not as many as there were back in the day. I know I know at least 10, 15 years ago, they were trying to do like one sort of like big shindig, because at the time there were still about 150 or so living Negro Leaguers. And unfortunately, that number is almost cut in half now. I mean, you know, we know of some of the prominent ones, of course, you know, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, they're still around, thank goodness. Thank goodness, you know, COVID didn't take them out this year. But, you know, there's all sorts of books, there's all sorts of videos, there's all sorts of movies and information that's out there. The funny thing is, the baseball, the people who drew the baseball encyclopedia, they started putting players, Negro League players, in the baseball encyclopedia about 10, 15 years ago. So even they were ahead of the game in regards to what Major League Baseball is doing. And usually, let's face it, usually the stat geeks are usually the last ones to whatever, because to their credit, not all, but to a lot of their credit, a lot of these guys are on it in regards to the Negro Leagues and the awareness of it and everything. And you know, like I've said this a bunch of times, I am so blessed that I was able to interview, you know, over a dozen or so Negro Leaguers over the years, and I miss doing that more, because I felt like I was in greatness when I would sit and talk with
them. I know what you mean.
And I just put it this way. My only regret is I wish half of them, if not all of them, were around to see this happen and realize that they are that their legacy has never been forgotten, but it would have been a nice attaboy for them to see how people really love and respect them, and that's the one good thing that comes out of this. I feel.
No, I agree.
Amen.
That's a perfect way to punctuate this, and let it be for the time being. We've got football coming up later today. Gary at the top of the hour, as he has his birthday edition. We have to tell Ma Gray later. Well, we can't tell Margaret that the strippers are on their way, but I digress. Anyway, final words.
Mike, you just gave it away by saying it. You know that now, right?
So, yeah. I'll be the decoy. I'll let Ma chase me with the soap while the strip girls get
Mike,
in there.
Mike,
so anyway.
first way, Mike. It's like that time they ambushed Cleveland on Family Guy when they brought seven strippers to his house.
Yes,
and they basically said, How dare you? You and four of those strippers had better get out of my place.
You and four of those strippers better get out of my place.
At the very least, we know Cleveland can add, if nothing else.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's right.
He said three of them got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really sad that Charlie Pride was at a country and music festival with everybody not wearing masks. Charlie Pride's now with the ancestors like Herman King. I really admire Charlie Pride, but once again, you have people who are listening to a person with a fourth grade education, and when you have all this greatness about you, see Ben Carson, which I still haven't figured that out yet. Please, black folks, please, stop trying to serve your master so well where it's literally killing you. Just food for thought.
There you go. I like that. Tony, give us something to walk with before we get to the Cove.
Um,
just for, you know what? I'm gonna call it out. I'm gonna say the Eagles are gonna upset Arizona this weekend. Just for the hell of it. Just for the hell of it.
I don't think it'd be upset. I really don't think it'd be upset.
No,
I don't
need it. It'll be upset in the sense because they're going into Arizona's place and beating them.
Exactly. A road game. I like that. There you go.
Yeah.
They're really going to cause a problem. WIP circuits will probably blow out.
There you go.
Those white captains up in Philly will lose their damn minds.
There you go.
Take care, guys.
That's exactly right. Thank you, brother. Gary, as your early birthday present, we submit the following.
Sugar. Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back at you. The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Richie Vinto.
Oh,
Vera, I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl that can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
I do.
Richie.
I
think I'm falling in love with you.
Oh, Lord. Here, baby. He's crying. I can picture this man. He's crying. Put your mama on the phone. Oh, God.
Yeah. Give me Hollycourt. 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling. Put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look it. I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
Oh, Lord.
Happy birthday, Gary. We'll see you at the top of the hour, 646-727-3649. Ciao for now. Everybody, please wash your hands, wash your ass, wear a mask, and watch your back.